Well, let's talk about the Preakness, the big race in the US, our time Sunday morning. Alan Carasso is from thoroughbreddailynews.com, and he's on the line. Morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
Very well. Good to talk to you. How's the build-up to the Preakness?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of excitement. As every year after the Kentucky Derby, there's always the hope that spring's eternal, that we'll have a Triple Crown winner like we did last year for the first time in some 37 years. So if form holds true, then we'll go on to New York City in another 3 weeks' time with another Triple Crown on the line.
Okay, Nyquist is the horse that's trying to win it after winning the Kentucky Derby. What's the feel from the stable?
The word from the stable from trainer Doug O'Neill is that Nyquist has done exceptionally well in the 12 days since the Derby. He's come out of it well. His gallops have been full of energy down in Baltimore at the Preakness. And, you know, all systems appear to be go. He'll have to deal again with Exaggerator, who ran on nicely in the Derby, to be second. The Mother Nature is trying to play a role like it did last year as well. And the interesting thing is that the majority of handicappers believe that Exaggerator will be assisted by an off-racetrack, a rain-affected track, to the extent where the market could get very tight between the two of them. So, it'll be interesting to see what the track condition is on Saturday and what kind of role that plays.
Okay, so there's rain tipped. Is there reading you off those comments?
There is definite rain upwards of, I can't do the millimeters, forgive me, but a half an inch of rain. So a significant amount of rain that will definitely have an impact and turn the track sloppy.
We know Exaggerator got a long way back in the Kentucky Derby. Is he a horse that can be ridden closer?
I mean, he's shown an ability to be closer in a race called the Delta Jackpot, a $1 million race at the tail end of last year. He was ridden close enough to the pace, stayed on well in the stretch. In his first start of the year against Nyquist, going a little bit shorter, going 7 furlongs or 1,400 meters, he was close, and Nyquist just had his measure that day as well. The thinking is, the prevailing wisdom is that he's better when allowed to rattle home, and if the pace is strong again in the Preakness the same way it was in the Derby, sort of unexpectedly. Nobody thought that the pace would boil over in the Kentucky Derby. They thought that Dancing Candy would control the pace from the outside, cross and clear, and have it his own way up front. But it didn't play out that way. The pace was fast. Exaggerator got home and was certainly gaining on Nyquist in the final 100 yards or so. So, you know, somewhat in Nyquist's favor is the fact that the Preakness is 110 yards shorter, so 1 mile and 3/16 as opposed to the 1.25 miles of the Derby. So, you know, Exaggerator will have to get a move on sooner if he wants to make an impact. He's got Kent DeSormo, who kind of cut his teeth in Maryland, was a leading apprentice rider back about 20 years ago on the Maryland circuit. So he knows his way around Pimlico as well, and he's ridden his fair share of Preakness winners. So Exaggerator will have his chances. These two are almost certain to dominate the market, and it would be somewhat of a surprise to see something other than those two finish 1-2.
Listening to you, the weather's certainly going to have an impact. Nyquist has drawn gate 3 and Exaggerator gate 5 for a horse that gets back, but Nyquist, Alan, just appears to be able to get a good run again.
I mean, he seems like one of those horses that that finds his way into a good trip every time, and it's more talent than it is luck. He's got that early speed to position himself in a race wherever the jockey wants him. I think it'll be interesting because there's plenty of pace this time. He had only one horse that he really had to seriously track in the Derby. And in Saturday's race, there's a great deal of speed that's going to come across from the outside. And it'll be interesting to see what Mario Gutierrez decides to do. My hunch is that he's going to take back a little bit and let the two or three or four of the speeds go, see if they can knock each other out, and then produce Nyquist in the stretch and get first run on Exaggerator and try to get home first.
It's run our time Sunday morning. We're looking forward to it. Let's hope that Triple Crown stays alive into the last race. Alan, appreciate your time, and all our listeners can gain more by going to thoroughbreddailynews.com. You can read Alan's material and lots of other good racing stuff from all around the world. Thanks a lot, Alan.
Thank you very much for having me. Good luck, everyone.
Good on you, Alan. Alan Carasso there from thoroughbreddailynews.com. About an hour ago, Holler, who's bound for the UK, took part in a barrier trial over 1,050 metres at Randwick.
Run this quick, and Costanati comes to the 400 and led by three lengths. Holler's in its slipstream in second position. Flamboyant Last just ridden along, and Alfred the Great continues to make ground, gets to the outside. And Costanati the leader. Holler's come off its back to challenge at the 200, then Flamboyant Last and Alfred the Great. And Costanati tackled by Holler, who's a length away, and Costanati's full bore holding Holler, and Costanati from Holler, and in Costanati went on to win by three quarters. Holler's run second. Now third was close. Amicus made ground. Flamboyant Lass, Alfred the Great just dropped off the last little bit. Then Magical
Stance.
Yeah,
so that was the barrier trial. Holler running second, was in that spot all the way, and Godolphin trainer John O'Shea's online. Morning to you, John.
Morning, Andrew.
Did Holler do everything you wanted it to, knowing that the horse isn't far from travelling to the UK?
Yeah, no, he just had a burn round and blew out a few cobwebs. You know, got still a month away from the race, so it's a day at the trials today and probably a day at the races next Saturday. You can have a gallop between the races and then jump on a plane and see how we go from there.
I know he's been at the farm and you've been sort of galloping there. Everything's gone to plan in preparation so far?
Yeah, maybe we've just been ticking him over. We haven't sort of done a lot with him. Just probably getting there in good order and a few strides up the hill there at Warren Hill and at Moulton Paddocks, the boss's farm there, and see what it brings after that.
Yeah, exactly. James obviously will head there and take the ride. You're still looking at the Jubilee only?
Yeah, I think that's enough. I think the tempo of the Jubilee allows him to sort of try and control the race a bit, and get up on speed. You know, they just run along a bit too much in the King Stand for him.
Yeah, understand. It's a different sort of race. And the Diamond Jubilee, often horses do the backup and don't do that backup, do they? A lot of those local horses.
Yeah, well, Holler's sort of horse that you know, runs very well first up, and then his second up run, he sort of comes back to the field a bit, and then you know, deep into a prep, he can put a few together. But when you're going in sort of fresh like he is here, he's sort of only got the one bite at the cherry, really.
Yeah, understand. All right, so he leaves in, what, 9 or 10 days?
31st.
31st.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. Of recent times, you've bought a few. John Ferguson's bought a few that have come here. But for you to take there and train the horse in preparation, John, exciting time coming up for the whole team.
Well, it's very exciting for me, Andy, because we'll be there sort of firsthand with the boss. Yep. And, you know, that'll be a very unique experience, obviously. And, you know, we want to hopefully treasure and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, let's hope he runs right up to his best, Holler. Just before I let you go, Ron's got you on the list tomorrow, so I won't go to tomorrow, but the Queensland Derby, I've been asked a few times this week on social media what you're looking at running towards the Derby up there, John.
Yeah, that's a good question, Andrew. We've got a couple of horses running next Saturday, a horse called SEL, who ran well last week at Doomba.
Yep.
And Unbreakable, who was a little bit unlucky, to say the least, at Caulfield, his last start. He has just arrived at Osborne this morning. He had a slight issue during the week. We intended to fly him to Melbourne, but the plane broke down when they were on the tarmac, so he found himself on a float the next day. He will run next week in the Rough Habit as well. So we have two runners there. Got a nice horse who ran on Wednesday. I thought ran very well. And he will run next Saturday at Rose Hill, Divine Sanction.
Right.
And Etymology has just arrived from Adelaide today at the farm here. And I was really surprised at, you know, his condition. He hasn't taken any harm from Adelaide. So I just said to Henry this morning, we'll give consideration to possibly even running him. So we've got a few irons in the fire. And we'll have to let it all unfold over the next 10 days.
Understand. The one that we can take out is Unbiased. I think you told me during the week it's gone to the paddock.
He went to the paddock, and so did Tarquin.
Tarquin, okay. All right, plenty of exciting times there from a derby point of view. Thanks for your time this morning. We'll chat with Ron tomorrow morning, John, if that's okay.
No problem. Thank
Good
you,
on
Andrew.
You. Thanks, mate. John O'Shea joining us there with the latest on Holler. Let's go and focus in on tomorrow's meetings. Matt Dale has a couple of interesting runners, one in particular. Morning to you, Matt.
Good morning, Andrew.
How you been, mate? Where are you?
I'm in Canberra.
You're in Canberra. Is it starting to get a bit nippy?
Yeah, it has been. It was quite mild this morning, but we have had a cool, few cool mornings, and I think the frosts aren't far away.
Yes, no, I understand. Lofiel is one that's a new one for you. Have you had for the total prep this time?
Yeah, I have. I've had her since she's resumed out of the paddock and had her in for about 3 months, and just still learning about her, obviously. New addition to the stable, but she kicks off tomorrow over the 1400 against the mares.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me, I mean, she's the thing that interests me is that she's very good fresh. So do you feel, can you get a vibe off the owners or something that she's going into this first up equally as same as the past?
Look, I watched the whole preparation of replays and whatnot of her last preparation. She actually was a little bit sort of one paced first up last preparation and ended up in some blinkers and winning a couple of runs into a prep. But look, we've taken the blinkers off and kick her off over 1400 against the mares, and just to get a guide on her, a bit of a yardstick on her there tomorrow. She's certainly not screwed down fitness wise, but she's had the work and she's had a couple of jump outs and plenty of work, but there is good improvement.
Okay. And from a nice gait, she's normally one that sits right up on the pace there somewhere.
That's right. She appears to be a mare that is at her best when she dictates on speed. There's plenty of speed in tomorrow's race, but from the good gate, it allows us to sort of have a look and just ride her where she's comfortable on speed. And obviously, if there's a couple that want to press right on, we'll let them go.
Yeah, exactly. Kobe Jennings taking a couple of kilos off too. I know, you know, the spread there in that race is pretty wide, significant tomorrow. So all of those top five have all taken claims tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. And I think this time of year, the apprentices seem to come to the fore with the jockey spread all over Australia. And obviously, we were handicapped up in the weight. So very happy to take the claim.
Yep. Okay. All right. We'll watch for her in the mounting yard tomorrow. But she's got very good fresh form. You've got Auckland Beauty in that race that's now gained to start.
Yeah, gained to start. I'll make a final decision today, probably leaning towards holding her back for Canberra next Friday.
Right. All right. We'll monitor that. Earlier on in the day tomorrow, Bitburg,
yeah. Thought it's a good time of year to bring him back. He handles wet tracks, 3-year-old over the winter. He's had two nice jump outs. And once again, he's definitely fit enough to perform first up, but does have good improvement. So he showed a good amount of ability there last preparation and just looking to see a little bit more seasoned or furnished product this preparation.
Okay. On Bitburg and Lofiel, sounds like they've done the work. If they can get the nice run and they're both drawn well, they can be around the mark somewhere?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They've definitely done the work, but there is good improvement in both of them. Looking forward to heading to the races and kick-starting their prep tomorrow.
You've got one at Wagga today and a maiden over the 1,000 on the fiddle in race four.
Yeah, he's just loaded up onto a truck as we speak. And he's actually, he's a half-brother to Happy Clapper. Just taking a little bit of time to mature, albeit he's only two. He's just taking a little bit of time to mature and trip away in a good barrier down there on the beautiful Wagga track. Good place to kick him off.
Big spacious track. And one final one, obviously, Fell Swoop. You've made the decision to press on to the 10,000. And Zach Purton, who we told our listeners was coming back to ride Brazen, has now got the ride in the 10,000.
Yeah, that's right. Zach rode Fell Swoop, obviously, in the TJ when he ran second to Chautauqua. And that was a peak run for Fell Swoop. And that combined with Zach's association with Brisbane and around Doomben, we thought that that would be the best jockey placement going forward.
And you just feel that he's a horse looking for ground?
Definitely. The other day he was a lot more relaxed in the enclosure and just didn't show as much speed in the first early part of the race, and that's so vital at Doomben, particularly when he drew barrier 10 and he was dictated to and obviously posted 3 and 4 wide. But he was very strong through the line. He was, such a tough run. He was very strong through the line, and I've got no doubt that he is looking for further, yes.
Yeah, looking forward to it again, the Doomben 10,000. Good luck tomorrow. A couple of interesting hopes first up. Hope they run well for you.
Good on you. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Matt Dale joining us there. And repeating in other Brisbane news there, Lara Main has foot soreness and won't be rushed to the Stradbroke. Chris Lee is deciding to spell the Randwick Guineas winner until the spring. Kieran McAvoy's been booked to ride Music Magnate in the Doomben 10,000. We're also some news on, what was the other one I wanted to mention here? Sebring Sun for tomorrow for Gary Portelli. They've taken the claim for Travis Wolfgram. Gary said to me off air earlier this morning, excited to see him back. He's wound up with 2 trials and he's ready to win if he gets any luck. So looking forward to seeing Sebring Sun in the last race tomorrow out at Rose Hill. Luke Dipman's got some key chances at Doomben. Morning to you, Luke.
How are you?
I'm very well, mate. The flashing light was on one horse and one horse only at the Gold Coast there, Soul for Song.
Yes, he produced a huge run a couple of weeks back at the Coast, so I'm just hoping I can do the same on Saturday and go one place better.
Yeah, look, is that his pattern? I mean, you've drawn Orchid again tomorrow, but could you ride him closer?
I had a good chat Kevin about this as well. I thought, if I could draw a good alley tomorrow and ride her a bit closer, would you be happy? And he was under the impression that he'd like to see her sort of ridden back in the field and flash home, but right. Obviously Barry had come out, she's drawn the wing again, so it wouldn't surprise me if she was last turning the corner tomorrow and she produces the same run. But I think that's her race, just sort of let her do what she wants early and let her settle and then flash home late.
Well, I mean, it was just, as I say, I mean, the flashing light was on. Everyone saw just how quick it was that last furlong.
Exactly. I haven't had one come home like that on me in, I was going to say a while, but probably ever. Was a huge run from where she was, especially at the Gold Coast, where you don't usually see horses do that. So for her to do that in a Group 3 was a massive effort.
I know the horses won here at Doomben, but looks like just Eagle Farm screaming out.
Oh, exactly. If we were at Eagle Farm tomorrow, then I'd be 100 times more confident. But in saying that, I'm not ruling her out tomorrow. It's a long enough straight for her to get home, and she's got the ability.
Gee, it's a competitive race, isn't it? In fact, Desley Forster, I spoke with off-air this morning about Too Good to Refuse, who's sort of had 3 weeks between races. But her quote was, I know it's early in the carnival, but this is the race of the carnival. It's so strong, the Fred Best.
Oh, 100%. You've got some terrific horses going into that tomorrow. It really, really bumps that race up. So it'd be interesting what we can take out of that and who gets over the line first.
Wicked Intent, you ride it back in the first race. It showed some really good performance there last time around.
Yeah, 100%. Chrissy put the blinkers on him and give him a bit of spark up before the start before and really sort of switched him on. And I think what really beat him last start was the weight. He had 60 on his back and it was sort of hard for him to motor home. He's only a tiny horse, but he's got 55 tomorrow, and if he produces the same, he'd be right there in the mix.
Yeah, he's a little thing, but he'll know that 5 kilo difference.
Oh, 100%. He'll be hitting the line a lot better tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, that's a good push for Wicked Intent, just simply off the weight. And the other one's Well Hayne here for former Kiwi and now Gold Coast trainer Graham Boyd. You rode it at the Gold Coast the other day. It made up some really strong ground as well.
Yeah, exactly. He had a good run. He got galloped on early on, which probably didn't help his chances when we had to sprint, but obviously step up to 2,000 he'll enjoy. And if he's overcome that sort of bit of a cut on his back leg, he'll be right there in the finish as well.
Yeah, well, I presume he wouldn't be there if there was a problem. So we take it that Graham's happy, and if Graham's happy, the horse is going to run well tomorrow in that benchmark 85. As you say, at the 2,000, looks to be a plus the way he finished off the other day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mate, good luck. You're going to, I guess, most attention's on Soul for Song, but let's hope there's Wicked Intent or Well Hayne can run well for you. Thanks for your time, Luke.
Cheers, Andrew. too easy. Thank you very much.
Good on you, mate. Luke Dippman joining us there. Soul for Song lining up in the Sky Racing Fred Best Classic tomorrow. As I say, I spoke with Desley Forster about Too Good to Refuse. They're hoping with a stack of pace in that race that they'll be able to settle midfield. 3 weeks between races, comes back to 13.50. Some other Brisbane news for you. John Sadler told me in the Brisbane Racing Club sprint tomorrow, the Charmed Harmony would have to run his best ever to win tomorrow. Horses in pretty good form. Tina Molina lines up for Tony Gollan in the Bright Shadow. They'll go forward from barrier 8. Jim Byrne goes back on. The last time Jim rode, only a couple of starts ago, it ended up winning the race. So Jim Byrne back on, confident of a very bold running tomorrow. Tina Molina is Tony Gollan in race 4. Big day out at Rose Hill tomorrow for the Australian Turf Club celebrating. It's a big night in Adelaide tonight. I'll set it up first. Adelaide tonight with the Australian Racing Hall of Fame. You'll be able to see that on Sky Thoroughbred Central. And then tomorrow, all the races are named in honour. And to give us more, Brett Devine from the ATC. Morning to you, Brett.
Yes, good morning, Andrew. Good morning to all the punters out there, and plenty of great reasons to get up to Rose Hill Gardens tomorrow.
Yeah, there is. Running through it, as I say, all the races are named in honour of these people that have been, and horses and associates and things like that, that have been inducted or will be tonight into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's right, Andrew. And, of course, all those new inductees will be in Adelaide celebrating, and I know it's covered live on Sky Channel tonight, Sky Racing, I should say, so wonderful opportunity to see that. All the races are named after it. But as a special celebration of that, we've invited plenty of New South Wales former inductees to be part of that celebration as we honour all those new inductees. And the likes of Joe Jeniak, of course, who trained the legend Takeover Target and the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame trainers Gay Waterhouse and John Hawkes. Hall of Fame jockeys Darren Beedman and Ron Quinton. Look, the Inglis family, Arthur Inglis representing that family, and Oliver Tate and the Cummings family as well. So, look, plenty of stars at Rose Hill Gardens tomorrow to help celebrate the Hall of Fame. A great weekend. It's always great to recognise those former champions of our sport, and we're very thrilled that we'll be able to entertain them up there in the Grand Pavilion after race 4. We'll introduce them to the crowd and show a few videos of former and current Hall of Fame inductees. So, look, on that score alone, Ben's a great opportunity to go up and see some of the former stars. And they're still stars, really, when you think about Gay and Darren helping out at Godolphin. Of course, Ronnie, still very successful, and the Cummings family. Fantastic weather also forecast, and really looking forward to a great day of celebration.
And the action begins bright and early, 11.25, the first of 9, with the earlier finish now, so 11.25. So when those gates open, we're only going to be less than an hour from the first race.
Yeah, that's right, Andrew. The gates open at 10.30 for the general admission public, a little bit earlier for members as an incentive, 15 minutes earlier, but 10.15 members, 10.30 for the general public. And, of course, we should remind people that we're well into the third stage now of the great refurbishment at Rose Hill Gardens. It does, of course, mean that Level 3 and the Winning Post restaurant are out of action until just before spring. But, look, the compensation for that is two or three great levels of absolutely first-class, world-class modern facilities that are now on offer there. And there's also the Winter Savers, the Winter Special in the Grand Pavilion, where people can book that great seafood buffet, and they'll also get a glimpse of those Hall of Fame inductees, New South Wales inductees that we just mentioned. They'll be in that function as well. So, look, Rose Hill Gardens really is becoming one of the best destinations in any part of Sydney to watch not only horse racing but enjoy sport and great food and entertainment.
Yeah, for sure. All right. By the way, I spoke with Gerald Ryan. I speak to a lot of people before I come on here, and Gerald Ryan said King's Troop in the first tomorrow. So for those getting there early, freshened up really well since the carnival, ran in the South Pacific and trialled okay. So he feels that King's Troop, the three-year-old colt, can run really well in the first race tomorrow. Good on you, Brett. Good luck tomorrow. Hope it all goes to plan.
Thanks, Andrew, and good luck to all the punters.
Brett Devine from the Australian Turf Club. We've got a good three at the moment at Rose Hill. Penetrometer this morning, 4.51. We've got 12 earlies. Race 1, number 2, Redouble. 3, Baltic Whisper, and 4, Archives. 2, 3, and 4. Race 2, number 2, Adirondack, number 2. The third takeout, 9, Navua Mist, number 9. At the moment, races 4 and 5 are clear. Race 6, takeout 1, Palazzo Publico. 2, Frill Speaking, and 8, Salita. 1, 2, and 8. That trio are all running in Brisbane tomorrow. Race 7, number 1, Religify, number 1. Race 8, number 7, All About Rhythm, number 7. And race 9, 7, Prince Famous, and 10, Kaleidoscope, 7 and 10. Now, I will tell you that Legarity will run in the first at Rose Hill tomorrow. At this stage, Hawks Racing have scratched it from Brisbane tomorrow. So Legarity expected to run in the first at Rose Hill tomorrow.